So just a quick recap. Last week, you might have noticed Audrey and I were gone. We went to a conference in Nashville. Oh, I've been told that I wander too much, so I'm going to try to stay here. Okay. So we went to a conference in Nashville, not really knowing what to expect. We had seen this pop up on social media about a year ago, and we saw it, and we said, we're going next year. And so we bought tickets quite a while ago for that, and it was just, I'm going to get into it today, but just how God has orchestrated all that, and the timing of it was, did you want to say anything? Okay, all right. I don't want to talk for her, but for me, and I think her, it was just extremely timely. And I'm going to walk through a little bit of that today with you, but it was awesome. We got to go to the Grand Ole Opry. That was good for our hearts, and then got to experience a lot of culture and worship in a different place, and it really, really was awesome. But the first day and a half was for leaders, and so we went to their church and went to just for pastors and ministers and worship leaders and the people that run the tech and stuff. And of course, these people are in big cities running really, really big operations, and we, not all of it is applicable to us, but we really learned a lot just too about how to make it applicable to our body and to our environment and to our communities. And so it was a really, really awesome week. But I want to share with you this week or today about some things that have been going on in my life. And I'm not trying to talk all about me, but I can't tell anybody else's story. I can only tell mine. And two, this has been something that God's been speaking to me the last couple months about sharing with you. And I've been dragging my feet a little and not really entirely sure how to do this and how to say it. And so, again, I'm not trying to sound like all about me, but I can only say what God's been doing in my life, and in hopes of it revealing something to you that maybe is relevant for what you're going through and for your journey. And to remind all of us that we all are going through different things. If you ever think someone up here has it all together, wrong. But what we have said is we've set our eyes on Christ, and we're going to keep following him, and like we are going through things, but we're going through them. And so that's the heart behind this, and I hope you can understand that. But I'm going to talk today about a complacent heart. As my dad was saying, I've coached sports for a while, and I coached soccer for many years, and one of the most frustrating things to watch is someone be complacent out there. As a coach, you're just like, don't do that to me. Don't just start walking. Don't just start wandering. And I've been complacent these last few years and been comfortable the last few years. And this is a journey that God's been taking me on. And so if we go back to 2023, right before 2023, I was full of grumbling and moaning. Really, I was. And anxiety about what was going to happen in the future of Believers Fellowship. They're doing phenomenal. They're beating me in many ways. But the reality is they are not as young as they once were. And so there was this, like, what is the next decade going to be? And there was a lot of apprehension and a lot of moaning and groaning. The week the fire happened, I remember it specifically. It was in the old hallway from the sealer room to the other room because I was looking at how dirty everything was and how this building is starting to get old. You know, and I was doing the math in my head and I was like, man, they did this addition when I was really young and now it's 20 plus years old. And God spoke to me in that hallway and said, I need you to stop worrying about this. I'm going to take care of it. And it was the week, literally just days before the fire. And so there was like this peace that kind of came over me. I was out of town when that fire hit, when the fire happened. I not on my bingo card. That was not going to happen, you know. And so that really rocked me. And I probably spent the first year after the fire going, What are we doing? I'll tell you, the first 6 months were moving from building to building, doing thing to thing. That was really hard. So I probably spent the first year going, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? So about a year into it, that's roughly a year and a half ago, God really starts planting these things in my heart and speaking things to me. And I was just really, really unsure of how this was all going to take place. I'm a little ahead of myself. I want to read two portions of scripture today. If you can't follow along or don't want to follow along right now, totally understand, really recommend you write them down for later. So the first one I want to read is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. Well, actually, I'm going to start in verse 10. It says, and the disciples came to and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see that their eyes hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. And I got to be honest with you, I've had a dull heart at times. I've gotten cynical. In Proverbs, it talks about sitting in the mocker seat. I get a little cynical of not this church, but the global church at times. And about a year and a half ago, God just really started speaking some things to me of like, you're going to have to get this under control. You're going to have to deal with this at some point. And just really just going, well, I'll just play my part and kind of go through the motions and this will be it. And then all this stuff just started stirring. I've done Sela for 20 years. And then have you ever had a young teacher for your kid? Like they're a first year teacher. And man, are those guys enthusiastic. And they have all these great ideas and they're going to do all these fun things and they really do. And then for some of us who are older go, yeah, good luck with that. I started with all these great ideas. And the last few years, I'm like, I would literally get ready for a Sela. And part of what we do is have a game. And I'd just be like, I can't even think of something fun. Let's just all have some snacks. You know, like I was just really struggling at times. But then these ideas have been starting to pop in my heart, and creativity is starting to spark again. And part of it is God dealing with me and saying, you're cynical and you're complacent. I had some coaching opportunities that I really do think were from God, but I really let them take up my thoughts, take up my time, not prioritize things in the right way. And in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 9, it says this. And I have to say, when I read this, I was like, dang, God is cool. Rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. Give ear to my word, you complacent daughters. Within a year and a few days, you will be troubled, O complacent daughters, for the vintage is ended, and the fruit gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent daughters. Strip and dress and put sackcloth on your waist. Beat your chest for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine, for the land of my people in which thorns and briars shall come up. Yea, for all the joyful houses and for the jubilant city, because the palace has been abandoned, the populated city forsaken, hill and watchtower have become caves forever, a delight for wild donkeys, a pasture for flocks, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field is considered as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteous will abide in the fertile field, and the work of the righteous will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. Then my people will live in a peaceful habitation and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. And it will hail when the forest comes down and the city will be utterly laid low. How blessed will you be, you who sow besides all waters, who let out freely the ox and the donkey. What this scripture is talking about when he says, rise up, O complacent women, what he was saying was at that time, things were fruitful. Things were good. Things were fine. There was nothing to worry about. But they had become complacent and okay with just dwelling with, it's good right now. And what he was saying is, it's good right now, but there's a drought coming, and you're going to have to go through this drought. And so don't be complacent right now. Now's the time to sow even more, and to sow by the stream, and to get ready for this phase that's going to come, because it's going to be a phase that it will end. My spirit's going to pour out, and everything is going to change, but you're going to have to go through it, and you can't sit here being complacent anymore. That was my heart. I got so, like, this is fine. This is fine. I go to church on Sunday. I run Selah on Wednesday. We have an exciting camp week during the summer. This is fine. This will be my life. And then things started stirring in my heart, like, this is not fine. This is not enough. This is not all that God has for us. This is, man, and just these things started pop up. And last fall, I knew that I was going to have to reprioritize some things in my life. So I kind of backed off. I'm not completely, you're going to be like, well, you're going to run out of here in about 30 minutes for a soccer game. I am. I am completely, but I have reprioritized. I've backed off. I've said no. I have said no to things. And if you can ask that man back there, not my strong suit. I have even sat here, and there's been things that I go, I could step in and fix that, but I'm not going to. Because God is calling me to something deeper and more, and to not sit there going, everything's fine, though. We're getting through the situation with the fire. That's fine. We have this beautiful building. That's fine. It's like, that's not enough anymore. Rise up, old women. There's something coming, and you have an opportunity right now to plant the seeds so that on the other side you have a harvest. And to sit by and go, this is fine, I'm just going to deal with this. It's good right now. Yeah, good is fine, but if good is not what God has called you to have, if he's called you to have even something greater, man, don't sit and go, this is, we're going to be fine, guys. And I don't say this like, be fearful, a drought is coming, fear, you should be afraid. That's not what that scripture verse was about. He ended it with a promise that his spirit was going to pour out, that he was going to, that ground was going to be fertile again. But man, be ready, because what you sow is what you're going to end up reaping. And rather than just sitting here going, I don't need to sow right now. Pastor John, he doesn't need to sow any more pears. We got more than enough. But you know, listening to his message, I was sitting and listening to his message in the airport, and Audrey and I are two different people. And I'm crying. She's looking at me, and she goes, why are you crying? You know, like, what is going on? We just show things a little bit different. I'm sitting there, like, laughing and crying, and she's looking. I'm like, I'm sure people think I'm crazy. But three rows back, a man was snoring louder than you've ever heard, and I was like, I'm not the only one in here making noise, so this is fine. But I'm listening to his message. It's something that rung true. He planted those trees 20-plus years ago. The apple trees that he planted, they planted when we first moved there. My brother and I were, I was six or so. That's a long time. And those pears, I don't even know when they planted them. I wasn't paying attention because at that time I was like, who cares what's going on down here? But, and to think about that, there's good years that we've had with those apples. Some years are like, oh, this is a pretty good year. Some years there's nothing. Some years they're terrible, so they taste terrible. These pears, I mean, I've just been going, why do they have pear trees? We live in South Dakota. This doesn't even make any sense. This year it's like, we got a pear tree. There's more than enough. If 20 years ago he would have said, this is fine, because honestly, let me attest to this. When they leave town and I'm in charge of that garden, I hate it. I will be honest with you. I'm like, do not leave me in charge of harvesting this monstrosity. There's two of them. This garden can feed the whole church. I'm like, what are we doing here? But if he had said, we don't really need to do more, because he could have and maybe should have at times, said, I don't need to have any more on my plate. If times were good 20 years ago and he just sat and goes, we don't need to do anything, and he didn't sow that seed and didn't plant that tree, he's missing out on an abundant harvest 20 years later. So to sit here and go, but things are fine. I don't need to get riled up just because the world is getting riled up. That's not what God's saying. Don't get complacent. Don't float. This life is not meant to just float through. It's not to seek out the drama. It's not to create your own problems. That's not it. Those are going to come. Don't get complacent when things are good and think, I can just kind of go on cruise control. That's when we double down all the more. that's when we dig in deeper and go, oh man, things are good right now. I'm going to take this time to push of what God has for me. I'm going to dig. I'm going to learn. One class I got to go to was a theology class. And this is, you know, I've been kind of delving more back into some of that area and reading some different books and studying some different things. And I texted my dad and I was like, just went to the coolest theology class. And he goes, how do you feel before than after? You know, like, what was your feelings before and how do you feel now? Because here's the thing, we can compare. We can absolutely compare ourselves. And sometimes if you go, well, that's so far out, I'll never obtain it, you just sit back and become complacent and say, well, I can never do that. I can never do what that person's doing. I can never do what that organization's doing. I can never do what that ministry's doing. I'll just sit back and do just cruise. And I said, it made me so confident that Believers Fellowship is on the right path, and it just makes me want to learn more. And in times of ease, rather than sitting back and going, I'll just kind of cruise for now, it's like, man, I got a little time. I'm going to dive. Because there could be a drought or there could be a challenge. And what I need is that word of God to come up inside of me and to come out of my mouth in times of trouble. So God's been taking me through this journey. Last fall, I made this vow and I, you know, have, you know, sticking to it, you know, and I'm going to make these priorities and make these changes. And I started at the beginning of the year, as everyone does, right? We're going to have a healthy year. We're going to focus on our health. We're going to prioritize our family and time. We're going to start whatever new thing you're going to start at the beginning of the year. And has anybody ever started like a new workout program or diet, and like 2 weeks in, you like hurt your back or something? And you're just like, of course I did, you know? And it's like you're so amped and you're so pumped to start this new thing. And then, boom, something sets you back. And that was January and February for me. I started the year just feeling so good about myself. It's like, this is it. This is it. This is it. Things are changing. I can feel it. Man, I feel creativity again. I feel excitement for the vision of what God's placed in my heart. I'm so excited. We went on a family vacation. Best time. Man, that was just the best time with our kids in Mexico. And then we get back, and my body literally takes a physical dive. There are signs in the fall that I was headed to some problems. But in February, my body literally tanked. And went to doctors, had a procedure done. To have this procedure done is going to change everything. Okay, do this procedure. Doesn't change anything. Get on this medicine, it's going to help everything. Got on this medicine, didn't help anything. Meanwhile, I'm on supplements. I got a weighted vest. I'm getting sunshine first thing in the morning. I'm doing all the things. Nothing's changing. Nothing's changing. I've struggled with fatigue the last 6 months, like really, really hardcore some days, and some days just struggling a lot. And I have a great husband that would pray over me, and I would lay in bed and I'd be really, really frustrated with the situation and just like, I guess this is my life. I guess this is the future. This is what it's going to be, and I'm going to have to learn how to get through it. And I would lay in bed and in those weak moments, and he would lay his hands on me and he would pray over me. And I would literally think to myself, he doesn't know this, I'd literally think to myself, quit wasting your time. Don't waste your time. This is it. This is how it's going to be. This is my life. After trying a few things in the last month and a half, I just made a decision. I'm going to get off everything like the doctors have said, and there's a little seed of hope. I'm going to start believing. I'm going to start believing that I'm going to, because if you know, and if you're in my SELA class, I teach and I believe that you deserve, you are worthy, and you can be healed, and you can be blessed. I teach it all the time, and I believe it. I radically believe it. Chris, during worship today, I was just like, man, Chris had a miracle. Miracles happen. I know it and I believe it. But there's a wall in my heart. So all these little things, even to the point where I know there's a blockage a little bit in my heart, even to where a week before we went for our trip, we were sitting around with, we have Sunday dinner usually, and it's whoever can make it, and it's aunts and uncles, and it's cousins, and it's whoever we pick up on the street, and it's loud, and it's, you know, we were talking about some things that happened in our childhood, and I said this specific phrase, and I'll come back to that, and I thought, that's really weird that I brought that up today, and I felt like I needed to say it, and I said it in front of my parents, and I've said it to my dad just recently for the first time out loud, and I'm like, there's something rolling around in that. So flash forward, we go to this conference, and the first morning of this conference, I'm sitting there going, I can't stop crying. This is exactly where I need to be. Just confirmation. Have you ever had confirmation in your life? You're like, man, I needed that confirmation right then. It's like we could get by without it. But to have confirmation at a time, man, that is powerful. To have a friend come alongside you and go, I see you, I know what you... And you're like, oh, thank God, I'm not the only one. And it was just things were going off that God's been speaking to me the last year and a half that were just confirmed. I'm like, this is already worth it. Everything, the first hour, worth it, worth it, worth it. The pastor got up and she started talking about receiving or being hit with the fiery darts of the enemy. And what she was kind of talking about is that as ministers, but really as parents, as ministers, as humans, whatever, we kind of have to keep checking in with our heart. Because out of our heart flows life, right? So what's going on in our heart is going to be reflected in how we treat people, how we act, the things that we say. It's coming out of our heart. And so she was talking about, you know, we are going to receive the fiery arrows, she was using the word arrows, of the enemy. And they're going to hit our heart. And we kind of have to be checking in to make sure what's going on. So she went on to tell this story. And as she's talking, I'm just like, like, okay, this is sounding familiar. She was talking about a situation that kept happening to her of betrayal. And she just was like, oh, I just keep getting betrayed. What is going on? And she was kind of saying, you know, sometimes those arrows come and you just break off the piece of it and keep going. But the tip of that arrow is embedded in your heart. You kind of have to go in and find that arrow tip, and you have to deal with it. And so she was talking about how, you know, she's had, you know, she'll have these amazing friendships, and she's devoted, and she's into it. Of course, she's been in the ministry for years and years and years. Some of this was really relatable. And then all of a sudden, they will up and leave her, and sometimes without a word. And she said, it hurts so bad. I take it so, so hard. And she was talking to her friend who's she's one of her prayer warriors in our church, and she was talking to her about it. She's like, this just keeps happening to me. Why does this keep happening to me? And she goes, you got something in your heart that's attracting the same thing over and over and over again. And so as she's sitting there, as she was speaking, she said, for me, I know what it is I didn't feel loved as a child. I didn't feel loved by my parents, and it's a big thing to me. She said, for years, would ask my husband 5 times a day, do you love me? Yes, hon, I love you. A couple hours later, do you love me? Like as if it has changed, you know. And she said that was a thing from her childhood. And this woman just revealed to her, like, you got to get that out. Because as long as it's in there, you're going to keep cycling through this. Time and time again. So I'm sitting there. I'm starting to weep. I've been in church a while. I go, there's going to be an altar call at the end of this. I can feel it. I can feel it. And I have to get my butt up there. I've not had that feeling since high school where there's a prayer thing. I feel like I have to get up there. And so she's talking about like searching your heart. And I'm like, God, why? What is in my heart? I know there's a blockage. I know there's something in my heart. And it came to me, you do not think that you deserve healing or blessings from God. So I was like, okay, I know, okay, you're right, that is what I feel. But why do I feel that? Why is that something that's an issue in my life? So again, the service is going on, it's a powerful service, and I can tell she's about to have this altar call, and I'm ready to elbow Audrey on my way. And Audrey is so good at finding seats, you guys. Again, for the altar call, like I said, it's been since high school that I've been like, I got to get my butt up there. Like, I knew I had, I have literally been like, if God wants to speak to me, he'll come find me back here. Like, I really, I mean, I've gone to conferences and gone to meetings and been like, if God really had something to say to me, that guy would just come find me and speak to me. And I was like, you're not playing that game today. You're getting up there. And so it's going on. It's going on. Sure enough, she calls it and I'm out of my row. Anyway, like she's gotten, we're four rows from the front. Then we get to the leadership conference. Then we go to this huge conference at this huge arena with 8,000 people. She's getting us on the floor. I'm like, I definitely would have been like, I'll just sit up here. It's fine. And she's getting us right on the floor. I'm like, these are the best seats I think I could have ever had at a conference. This is amazing. Anyway, so I'm elbowing the three people, Audrey included, to get out. And I lock eyes. She brought up, she said, I'm going to have my prayer team come up. And it was pretty cool because she said, and if you're not part of my prayer team, don't come up because I want you to pray with power. And so she has her prayer team come up, and I see this woman, and I'm like, that's the one. And so I get in, and there's only one person ahead of me. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. This is happening. And there's, you know, beautiful song was being played, and I'm just weeping, and then the woman in front of me finally got out of the way. And so then I got up there, and I looked at her, and I just... nothing. I couldn't say anything. I was crying so, so bad. And she just looked at me and she put her hands on me and she just started praying a prayer of like, Father, I know as a parent, I want my kids to have good things. And you want her to have good things. And I was like, darn it. Well, that was kind of it. And she said this thing as I'm getting my stuff together, and then I kind of calmed down a little, and she goes, what can I pray for you about? And I tell her, I'm basically the woman in the Bible who needs to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And I've done it all. I don't know what else to do. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. And sitting here listening to the pastor today, I realize I don't think I deserve healing or blessings, and I don't know why I feel that way. And I want to get to the root of it. And she starts praying for me, and she keeps going down the line of, you know, as a parent, as you know, we want to give good gifts. Lord, we're believing for healing for her body. And then she stopped and looked at me and goes, you don't have to be a good girl to be healed. And one of the things that I've struggled with is, and I know we all have in different ways, but one of the things I struggled with as being a pastor's kid, there was a lot of self-imposed judgment and guilt that we put on ourselves. And then there was some externally. And I remember one of the first times I was a young person and I made a mistake and someone goes, ooh, the pastor's kid made a mistake. You guys, this probably was, it could have only been said to me once. Maybe a couple times. But it is the echo in my voice. Anytime I lose my temper, anytime I say something I shouldn't have said, anytime I would find myself in a place I shouldn't be, the words were, look what the pastor's kid is doing. So when she said, you don't have to be a good girl to receive healing, it broke. And then she said, I want you to go home, and I want you to be grateful, and I want you to be patient. I've spoken in here, patience. Not my thing, right? I want you to be grateful, and I want you to be patient, and as you go, you're going to be healed. I've had the best 2 weeks I've had in 8 months. And I got back to my seat. It was the first time in months I could breathe deeply. I don't breathe well. That's why my dad and I don't snorkel. Because we don't know how to breathe. And I, the whole rest of the week, I'd feel cynicism creep in or complacency creep in, and I would just sit there and go, and I would just feel like, man, this is the time to hit the gas pedal, to go forward. It is no time to be complacent. It is no time to sit here and just play nice and just let your life just say, I'm going to float through it. It is time to dig in. The message I had before I left was, it's time to wrestle with God and get something settled. The last night, our last service, the speaker preached on the same text that I did. And I was just like, what? I looked at Audrey, and Audrey goes, I feel like I just heard this. But there was just moment after moment after moment. But for you, this I only tell mine because if you can see a glimpse of it, maybe you think too, I don't deserve healing. That's such a weird concept. When I say it, when I said it out loud, it makes no sense. I literally have been brought up in a church that we believe that we can pray and the people that we pray for are going to be healed. We have seen it with our own eyes. I've been healed in the past. Why would I think that today of all days, God's going to go, yeah, you've just done one too many things? Because it's not even based on that. It's not even based on my good works or my bad attitude. It's based on the fact that he loves us so much that he sent his son to pay the ultimate price because he wants to do nothing but lavish his goodness on us and his mercy. I got to get out of my own way. And I cannot be complacent anymore. And I cannot be cynical of the things around. Man, if the whole church would just get their act together, they're giving us a bad name, whatever it is. We've all said it and we've all thought it. It's not the time. The time is for me to set my heart and get it right and to pursue the things that God has said more than ever. And on those good days, man, that's time to go, man, God, what do you have to say to me today? I really have low distractions today. Come speak to me. Holy Spirit, come. Spirit, come be poured out in my life. I want more of you. I want more of what you have for me. I'm going to read on a book I don't read very often out of. But on Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I don't want to be spit out. And I don't want to be lukewarm. And I don't want to back down from what God's called us to be. And I was like, man, you just got back from a conference. Every time you guys come back from a conference, you're all fired up. Can I tell you, this has been a process for the last 6 or 7 months. And then the last 2 weeks, things are just falling into place. Seeds that you sowed 20 years ago, you're going to see a harvest. But what about the next 20 years? We can't get complacent now. We got another 20 years to think about. Don't back down now. We got more people coming in those doors soon. And their hearts are telling them, you don't deserve it. That's for someone else, not for you. And our job is to go, no, 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 no. It was exactly made for you. Salvation is for you. Abundance is for you. Healing is for you. And not because you're a good girl or good boy, but because you have set your eyes on the creator of the universe and you've said, I will pursue you. Come hell or high water, I will pursue you. I want your truth in my life. I don't want my opinions. I don't want to just cruise. I don't want to just have a good, comfortable, nice little life. I want more and more of you. I want to be on fire. I don't want to be lukewarm. And I definitely don't want to be complacent anymore. If you just stand with me. Heavenly Father, we know there's really no way to get through this life without arrows coming at us. We acknowledge that. But we also acknowledge that you have empowered us through your grace to rip that arrowhead out that's causing us so much pain. That's causing us to just circle that mountain again and again of pain and of distrust and of loneliness or whatever it may be that people are dealing with, Lord. And so we go home today and we're going to do a little heart work and ask you, why is it I don't believe that what you have for me is really for me? Because, Lord, I want all of you. I want not just more of you, I want all of, I want your spirit poured out in my life. So as Pastor John was saying, not so I can say, oh, look at, I got it all for me. No, so that I can go out and say, His Spirit wants to be poured out on you. He has something for you. And I don't want to back down from those opportunities. Heavenly Father, we pray and we believe for those that need healing. We believe that they, whatever heart work they have to do to accept that and to receive that, we believe that you are ministering to them, that you are working on that. Lord, we believe that you are going to provide moments for each one of us this week to just have, man, carve out that. Lord, speak to me. I'm hearing you. I want to hear from you. We're going to fight being complacent. We're going to fight being critical of the mistakes the church has made and the church is going to make. And we're going to double down on, man, there's no time to waste. It's time to set our eyes on you and to pursue what you have, because there is a world that is hurting and they must know the truth. Not a truth, not a half truth, the truth. And that is you, Heavenly Father. In your name I pray. Amen.